Tanter Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Camp Crim by Bella Jewell. Narrated by Marie Hawkins. Prologue. Rain trickles down over my forehead and I blow it off with a whoosh of air from my lips. It's not heavy enough to drench, but enough to be annoying. The dim lights of the gas station in front of us has a lump forming in my throat. I've spent the last 5 minutes trying to figure out what to say to get this to stop. So far, nothing is working. You need to stop, Davina. My voice comes out croaky, quiet. This is a bad idea. Someone is going to get hurt. My hands fumble together as I try to stop my longtime friend Davina from doing something crazy. Something as crazy as standing up a gas station for money. Things are hard. They've been hard for some time. But this plan, it's dangerous. It's not the kind of plan you actually carry out. Sure, we've spoken about it. We have even worked out how we're going to do it. But now that we're here, I'm not so sure. It doesn't feel right. The cold gun in my hand. The look on the young girl's face at the counter as she shuffles through some stock items, oblivious to what's about to happen. Mostly the cold stare in my friend's eyes. We haven't eaten for 2 days, not for a lack of trying. But we're struggling, and we're broke, and by the time we pay rent and Davina pays for her habit, there is nothing left. Nobody will hire her, or me for that matter. We're from the rougher side of town, a place nobody wants their staff coming from. I have no experience. My life isn't that grand. I haven't had the chance to work and create a name for myself. No, the path laid out for me is much, much more dangerous than that. We're the kids from broken homes, tossed around in a system that doesn't care about you. They'll do anything to just move you on and forget your name. You're nothing more than a number, and they'll be sure to make you know it. Davina and I are all each other has ever had. But right now, the choice she's making, it's killing me. Nobody is going to get hurt, Davina says, pressing the gun closer to her chest so any passerbyers won't see it. Just stick to the plan, we'll be in and out. It's late. The flickering streetlight is the only sound that can be heard. There are no cars, no people, nothing around at this time of the night. It's just a cold, empty, deserted place. That's why we picked it. It's in the rundown neighborhood where nobody cares about the people living and working here. We have it on good authority the security system is currently down. You know things when you live the way we do. You can find out practically anything you want, and you are sure to always be one step ahead of the law. We have much working in our favor tonight, yet everything about it feels wrong. She's in there all alone. Something will go wrong, I say, shaking my head. I don't want to do this. It's too late for that, Davina growls, glaring at me before turning and striding right toward the front door. I have only seconds to stop her, and my attempts are futile. She's going in there. And my gut tells me something is going to go wrong. I have to stop her because the girl in there doesn't deserve to be scared in the way she's about to. She doesn't deserve to be afraid to come to work. This was a bad idea, and I'm not going to let it continue. I should have never even let her tell me about it to begin with. What was I thinking? This was never going to work. Not ever. Davina walks in the front door, and I'm on her tail, reaching out to stop her, to pull her arm down, to stop her flashing her gun around. No, I say, just as she holds the weapon up. Davina, stop. The girl looks up from the counter and her eyes widen. It's too late to prevent the fear. I can see it written all over her face. Labored breaths leave my body as I freeze, watching as Davina screams at the girl to open the register. I can't move. My legs are numb. And it's only then that I realize I have a gun in my hand. Snap out of it, Willa. I shove the gun into my coat and step toward Davina. Stop, I plead, my eyes scanning her cold face as she doesn't take her eyes off the girl who is frantically fumbling to get the money out. She hasn't done anything wrong. You're either with me or against me, Willa. If you're against me, get the fuck out and find your own food. My hand trembles as I place it on my friend's arm. Just lower the gun. There is another way. There is no other way. Please. The girl at the counter says, pulling out as much cash as she can. Just take anything you want, but don't hurt me. Nobody is going to hurt you, I say carefully to her. It's okay. Davina turns to me, her eyes darting through mine like tiny razors. You need to remember your place, Willa. She's scared, I whisper hiss. Remember yours. You're not a monster, Davina. Sirens blare in the distance and Davina spins toward the girl. You called the police? She must have an emergency button. We have to leave. Now. Davina, we need to go right now. Not until she hands over that money. Davina waves the gun at the girl. Hurry up! Pale-faced, the girl starts shoving the money into a shopping bag. Move it! Davina bellows, and when she jerks the gun, it goes off. It's almost like a nightmare, really. The girl who is standing is suddenly on the ground. Davina goes pale and drops the gun, stammering something I can't understand. My entire body feels like it won't move as I stare at the scene before me, horrified. I rush around the counter toward the girl on the ground, bleeding from her stomach, her eyes wide with fear. Davina! I scream. Help! The front door slams. The shop goes silent. Davina left me. She left me. I look down at the girl who is staring at me with fear in her eyes. It's okay, I say to her, pressing my hands onto her stomach to stop the bleeding. Help is coming. Help is coming. It is. God, Davina, what have you done to me? Chapter 1. My name is Ember. I stare at the gorgeous young woman I'm sharing a cabin with. She looks like she's barely old enough to drink, let alone have been locked up in prison, but here we are. I know all these women are ex-criminals, so whatever she did, it must have been good enough to get her thrown behind bars. It's impossible to believe she could do anything wrong just by looking at her. Tiny, gorgeous, with a blonde bob and the prettiest blue eyes I've ever seen. No way in the world is she a danger to society. That's wonderful, I mutter, throwing my suitcase onto the bed. You're Willa, she goes on, unfazed by my snarky mood. Yep, I mumble, turning toward her. Look, no offense or anything, but I don't want to be here, and I have no interest in making friends. I want to get this over and done with so I can go home and start my life again. She studies me, her eyes scanning over my face. She might be tiny and innocent looking, but in the depths of her gaze, you can see the intelligence and ability to read people. It's rather off-putting. I look away. Why were you in prison? She asks, not at all bothered by how uncomfortable she's making me. I shouldn't have been, is my answer. I got caught with drugs, a lot of them. It was a misunderstanding. I was stupid and believed my boyfriend was a good person and trusted him. He set me up so he didn't have to go down. I did 6 months, nothing too major, but it's not something I'd like to do again. 6 months is not a bad stint for possession. Someone must have got her out. I mean, anyone looking at her can tell she's not a damn drug dealer. But still, sometimes it's the innocent ones who are the most dangerous. Super, I say, walking out of the room in an attempt to end the conversation. Fallon, our other roommate, is standing in the kitchen, organizing things in a way that tells me right off the bat that she has OCD. She has already emptied out the cupboards and rearranged them. The cabin, which was already sparkling clean, is now even more so. She doesn't say a lot, but she's friendly enough. As I said, though, I'm not here to make friends. I walk outside and see Waylon standing on the patio, cigarette in hand. He's gorgeous, and he damn well knows it. The man is built like a linebacker and has the deepest brown eyes I've ever seen on a man. Matched with his cropped brown hair, olive skin, and muscled build, he's someone who turns quite a few heads. Mine included. But that's a story for another day. Gotta spare one of those? He stares at me and then pulls a packet of cigarettes out of his pocket and thrusts it toward me. I take one out, putting it into my mouth and leaning forward as he flicks the lighter, eyes not leaving mine as he brings it to the cigarette. I inhale as I step back, breathing in the smoke and closing my eyes. I don't smoke often, but damn, the times when I do, it brings me such comfort. Where's my bodyguard? I say after exhaling the smoke. Waylon nods his head toward the main house, which is a good walk away. He's coming. Why did you have to go ahead and open your mouth? I don't need supervision, Waylon. That's what you and Aaron are for, isn't it? We've got 5 girls to watch at all times. If I'm only watching you, then they're gonna be unsupervised. Can't have that. So you set me up with Surfer Cowboy. You think that's enough to stop me doing what I want? Waylon eyes me, his expression dark. I don't want to have to take you right back to where I just got you out of, Willa. Don't do anything stupid. Technically, I point out, I've done my time. Surely there are rules against holding us here. It's a part of your release terms. Do it or go back and finish up the rest of the time in prison. Choice is yours. I mutter under my breath and take another inhale of the smoke. Waylon studies me, his eyes scanning over my body. Did I mention we fucked? Right, we did. On the way here, we had two stops. One of those stops, I got myself very, very drunk, and Waylon helped me into my motel room. One thing led to another, and the man fucked me in a way I haven't been fucked before. It was incredible, and I'm fairly certain illegal. He made it very clear it wouldn't happen again. We'll see about that. Why are you staring at me like you want to eat me alive, Waylon? He slowly turns and looks over the patio, as if my words simply don't affect him at all. We're not going there, Willa. Where? To the other night where your mouth was between my legs for so long I can still feel the tingle? He stiffens. I grin. Enough. Nobody forced you there, big guy. You dove in all on your own. He glares at me. I said enough, Willa. It was a mistake. Tell that to my vagina. I lean against the wall of the cabin and stare out. Neither of us says anything more, but I wouldn't mind spending another evening with Waylon, mostly because it has been a while since I've been with a man, and I enjoyed every second of it. On the plus side, I'm sure if he doesn't want to come to the party, one of these gorgeous cowboys will. Not the one currently striding toward us with a scowl on his face, though. No, that one doesn't like me, and the feeling is mutual. My babysitter stops when he reaches the patio, glaring up at me with those gorgeous eyes. He looks like he belongs in the ocean and not on a ranch, but who am I to judge? I grin down at him. Fancy seeing you here, surfer boy. His jaw ticks in a way that makes him look even more spectacular. Get your shoes on, you're coming with me. I stare at him with narrowed eyes. I don't think so. It's not negotiable. I thought this retreat was a place of relaxation and personal growth. His glare doesn't waver. I cross my arms. I've got the fucking wonderful task of looking after you, and I'm not gonna make that easy. So my suggestion is that you get off that fucking deck and start walking with me, or I'll make it a whole lot harder when you get to where we need to go. I look to Waylon. You're not gonna let him treat me like this, surely. Waylon shrugs. Don't mouth off and it'll go well. I gape at him and then turn and stare back at Lake. Listen, River, I'm not into horses and cowboys and running around acting like those things excite me. It's Lake, he grinds out. I wave a hand. Lake, ocean, river, it's all the same, isn't it? He looks like he's going to take me over his knee, which I wouldn't mind. Fine, I mutter. I'll come, but if you think I'm going to help you, you're sadly mistaken. The least amount of time I have to spend doing anything around here, the better. Happily take you back to your cell if that's how you'd like to spend the remainder of your time. Waylon offers, a sly grin on his face as he inhales a cigarette. I give him an expression that I know is lethal. Watch it. Do as you're told, Willa. He tells me, pushing off the wall and dropping the cigarette into an empty bottle. Make this enjoyable for us. Enjoyable? He has to be kidding. Nothing about this place is enjoyable. Sure, it's better than the cell I've spent a great deal of my time in, but it's also not something I'd pick for myself if given the choice. Don't get me wrong, the ranch is gorgeous and I can see the appeal. But I want, more than anything, to just leave everything behind me and go as far away as I can. Nothing else seems to appeal to me right now. Shoes on, Lake orders. With a huff, I pull on my joggers and then follow him as he begins to walk toward the paddocks. Where are we going? I call after him as I struggle to keep up with his long strides. Moving the cows from one paddock to another. I pause. Cows? He doesn't stop. Keep up. The longer you take, the longer you're going to be out here. I jog to catch up. Are the cows nice? He pauses now, turning to give me a quick, unsatisfied glance. Are the cows nice? That's what I asked, I mutter. No, they're not. They get the shits when we move them and they will make it known. That sounds terrifying. So how dare I ask, do we move these cows? Wave your fucking arms around until they move. I blink, confused. Don't you use horses? We usually do, but this paddock is easy and the cows move without too much fuss. Without too much fuss. Is it dangerous? Don't get in their way and you'll be fine. We reach a paddock full of cows, and there are about five other guys with dogs moving around. I don't recognize them and guess they're just ranch workers. The dogs are all running, noses to the cows' legs, letting them know they're more than ready to have them move the second they're given the command. The cows make a loud groaning sound, which I'm assuming is supposed to resemble a moo. I have no idea who came up with such a cute-sounding word for the noise these beasts are making. Go and stand by the gate, Lake orders. When I give you the signal, open it and keep it open no matter what happens. The cows will come through quickly. Occasionally, one will try to leave the pack. If that happens, the dogs generally pull them into line. But if they don't, you'll need to wave your arms and try to get it back in. I stare at him, eyes wide. Please tell me you're kidding. We've been over this, he mutters, waving a hand so the guys know it's nearly time. Gate. I move to the gate he points to and find myself shaking just a touch as I hold the latch, ready to open it. Lake gets everyone working, and in seconds, the dogs have the cows ready to move into the next paddock. Whistles travel through the deep groans of the cows, and when I see Lake give me the signal, I open the gate and push it out as far as I can so that the cows can start moving through. They do, mostly without drama. In a large group, they travel into the next paddock. I hang onto the gate, even though it seems to be holding itself open. So far, everything is going to plan and the cows are playing nice, which I'm sending a prayer of thanks up for, because I'm not ready to take on one of these animals. They're bigger than me, and quite frankly, not at all cute and squishy. Then it happens. A brown cow separates from the group right near me. It runs out, grunting as it tries to make its escape. It moves towards the fence where I'm currently standing, gate in hand, and stops in front of me, snorting and huffing. I freeze, confused, as the large animal stares me down. It looks pissed off. What did Lake say to do again? Oh, wave my hands. I release the gate for a moment, taking a deep breath, and wave my hands. Go! Get back into line! Go! The cow doesn't take kindly to my little show and begins pawing at the ground, its head down. The motherfucker is going to charge. With a scream, I move behind the gate just in time. The cow comes charging toward me and hits the gate with such force it shoves me backward into the fence behind me, a little space I've closed myself into, hoping it would protect me from the angry beast that just tried to kill me. My back slams against the railing, and because of that, the gate swings out of my hand and toward the cows still moving through it, leaving me exposed to the animal that doesn't look like it's done. I put my hands up, panting, as I see it train its gaze onto me once more. Nice cow. Nice cow. Moo! My failed attempt at reasoning with it only seems to bring on more rage. It begins pawing the ground again. It's just about to charge at me when Lake appears with something in his hand. He presses it to the cows behind, and it immediately backs off and darts away when the dogs quickly round it up and get it back into the group. I press a hand to my chest, feeling a little dizzy.
You good? Lake asks me.
That cow tried to kill me! I breathe, still in shock.
That wasn't a cow. That was Barry. He's a bull. He doesn't like being yelled at.
Barry? I gasp. Barry? That was fucking Barry? Oh, well, now that you say that, I feel so much better. You told me to yell at them.
Lake is fighting a grin. Didn't think Barry would try to pick a fight. He usually likes girls.
I stare in horror at him. I'm not entirely sure if you're putting me in the same category as a female cow, or if you're being serious, but either way, no. I'm done here.
We're not done, Lake tells me, his voice calm as he carries on like nothing happened.
Oh, we're done.
Let that gate go, he tells me, waving a hand at one of the guys, and I'll send you right back to the cell you came from.
I gape at him. What sort of place are you running here? You know nothing about me, so you better watch yourself.
He grins. Or what? I grind my teeth, but damn it, I keep my hand on the gate. Just as I thought. I glare at him the entire time we finish up moving the cows. When we're done, I say nothing as he walks me back to my cabin, muddy and filthy. What a first day this has been. If this is what I'm in for, I'm not interested. This isn't the kind of retreat that brings peace to your soul. Well, at least not my soul. What I need is a drink, a bar, and some random man to tell me I'm pretty. I haven't had any of those things since I got locked up. Waylon will take over now, Lake tells me as I stomp up the front steps, but I'll be back first thing in the morning. I ignore him. We'll see about that. I don't plan to be here first thing in the morning. No, I'm done. I stomp my feet as I try not to get my shoes muddy. It started raining. Of course it did, but that's not going to stop me getting the hell out of here. I need to get away from this damned retreat and find a place where I fit in. A place where nobody is judging me. A bar. What? Bars are very non-judgmental places. It's where everyone goes when they're feeling the weight of the world on their shoulders, and nobody even asks why. They just pass you drinks and let you get on with your life. I've spent a good portion of my young adult life behind bars, and now I'm being forced to play nice with a bunch of hot ranchers and other lady criminals, all while pretending I like it. I don't like it. I also really don't like him, Lake. He purposefully set me up to fail with those stupid damned cows earlier, and I'm not gonna sit around here for the next 6 weeks and let him continue. He is messing with the wrong girl when it comes to me. I bet he wasn't expecting me to up and leave as soon as the lights went out tonight. We had dinner, I glared at him the entire time, and tried very hard not to interact with anyone. The two girls who live on the ranch, Lay and June, who are too damned nice for their own good, made the effort to welcome me. I wasn't rude to them, but I made it clear I had no interest in participating in their little adventures. I made the decision in that paddock earlier that I was going to get the hell out of this ranch. For a little while, just a moment, I thought about staying gone, doing a runner, escaping for good. But that'll only put me back behind bars, and that's not somewhere I plan on going. So I'm just going to go into town, have a few drinks, relax, and return. Everyone is asleep. They'll never even know I'm gone. I have zero idea how long it'll actually take me to get into town. I'm hoping someone will drive past and offer me a lift. There is a good chance I'll get murdered doing that, but I'm taking the risk to be able to sit down with a cold beer and pretend the world doesn't exist for just a second. I can taste it now. I'll give it to you. I didn't think you'd make it this far. I squeal in surprise and leap backward. I can't see much in the darkness, but the voice is familiar. I flash my light toward it and see Lake standing against the front fence post, his arms crossed, his biceps bulging as he lets his eyes scan over my less than appropriate outfit. I'm wearing a tight pair of denim jeans, a short crop that makes my boobs look fantastic, a pair of knee-high boots, and my hair is down around my shoulders, ready for action. Did I mention I was hoping to get laid too? What? I'm trying to move on with my life. Maybe there's a nice man out there who will steal me from this retreat and bring me to his home where he'll ravish me and... Willa? I blink. God, I really got distracted then. I focus back on Lake. I mean, the man is fucking fire. He's gorgeous. All that thick blonde hair, olive skin, and those dazzling green eyes with specks of yellow in them. He has this strong body, big firm muscles and abs that you would happily spend hours running your tongue over. He doesn't look like he belongs on a ranch, that's for certain. He looks as if he belongs on a board riding a wave, gorgeous blonde females on his thick, strong arms. Good heavens, snap out of it, Willa. I can't even stand the man. What am I thinking? If he wasn't such a douche, I'd probably be attempting to get into his pants. But he is a douche, and he has made it very clear it'll be his mission to make my life as miserable as he can while I'm here. I mean, who wants to kayak and look at a bunch of trees? Not this brown duck. Who wants to sit around a fire and talk about how happy we are to be out of prison? Not me. I know what they are trying to do, but I'm not bloody interested. Wonderful evening, Lake. Fancy seeing you here. His mouth twitches as he pushes off the post.
Did you honestly think I wouldn't know if you tried to sneak out? You walked past the main house with your flashlight on.
Oops. I figured they were in bed. Look, it has been a while since I've snuck out, okay? I'm not that great at it anymore. When I was younger, I could stealth my way out of the house without so much as a creak. I would go out, party my little backside off, and be back in bed before my foster mother woke up in the morning. They all thought I was this great child, and I was, but when the night fell, I was nowhere to be seen.
So there I am having a fucking smoke before bed, and I look out to see you scurrying around like an escaped prisoner.
Oh, ha ha, I say sarcastically. Is that the best you could do? How original.
He grins, probably the most genuine one I've seen come from him. Usually, he wears a scowl when his face is pointed in my direction.
I know a shortcut to get down here long before you could. It was worth it to see your face.
I grunt. He's so pleased with himself, thinking he has one up on me. He's wrong. So wrong.
Don't flatter yourself, River. I was actually imagining the man who might steal me away and make passionate love to me tonight so I don't have to return to this place.
He really, really hates it when I call him River. So, for obvious reasons, that's what I call him.
You're walking a fine line with me, Willa. I've been nice, but my patience is wearing thin.
Nice, I scoff. At what moment have you been nice? You and Barry tried to kill me earlier. That is so far from nice.
Because you refuse to give this place a go. You've been here for less than 48 hours, and you're already acting like you're too good. You think the world owes you something.
The world does owe me something, I snap, crossing my arms. You'd know that if you weren't so judgy.
You'd know I listen well if you weren't such a pain in the ass and actually talk to me like a normal person, instead of walking around with a big fucking chip on your shoulder.
Did that big sentence hurt? I scoff.
I'm fucking about ready to take you over my goddamn knee, and
I roll my eyes.
What?
I challenge. What are you gonna do to me? Throw me over your shoulder and shackle me in a basement? Maybe, then I'll do as you ask.
His eyes flash.
Tempting. Nobody is stopping you. Now, if you don't mind, I'd like to go and get a beer.
I'm not letting you leave this ranch. It's against the rules.
I put my hands up. Oh, the rules. How dare we break them?
He's getting pissed. His handsome face is hardening, and he looks like he might just throw me if I continue with my antics.
I wouldn't mind having a tackle with Lake. I mean, imagine him throwing you over his big shoulders, that gorgeous body pressing against you. It's so tempting, I might just allow it to happen. I'm always down for a good wrestle, especially with a man like Lake.
It's not fucking happening. You either walk back, or I'll make you walk back.
I grin, and a wicked idea pops into my mind.
I'll do you a deal. I'll go back to the ranch if you can catch me.
Then I lunge forward, taking him by surprise. I run. I'm fast. I'm little. I run right past him, adrenaline bursting inside my body, spurring me on. Lake barks a curse, but I hear him begin to run, his pounding footsteps gaining on me. My heart skips a beat, and I laugh, wild and free. Part of me wants him to catch me, to punish me, and the other part wants to outrun him so I can have that beer. Who knows how it'll end? Oh, this is fun. Yes, indeed.
Chapter 2. I hit the ground with a thump, my face landing right in the mud. A big, dirty brown chunk of it goes into my squealing open mouth, and I begin to gag as the man lying on my back leans down and growls into my ear.
That was a bad idea.
You think? I squeal and fight, but he's heavy and pinning me down as if I weigh nothing, and it takes zero effort from him to keep me here. Anger bubbles in my chest as I spit and cough, trying to get the mud out of my mouth. It tastes awful, like tacky filth, and the more he sits there, holding me down, the more I fight.
Let me go, you giant piece of dog turd! I scream.
Say please.
He's amused. Amused. I'll never fucking say please. Let me go. I have mud in my mouth. Oh, God, let me go.
If you want the mud gone, say please. It's not that hard. Just one little word. He's not going to move. I know it.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?